Hi, and welcome to episode 12 of Oral Fix Podcast. I am Drew Brown.
I'm Henry Diaz.
And we're your host of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. You can find us on iTunes, and you can listen to us on Stitcher.com. Henry, what's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Thanks for the song. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm, you know, still kind of recouping from the very crazy weekend at Fire Island. So trying to digest.
You went to Fire Island. Anything exciting?
There were lots of exciting things going on. There were hot. Well, it was called Fire Island Blackout, and it's when basically when 100 of gay black men take over Cherry Grove. So, oh my god. There were other people. It was mixed a little bit, but there was this, you know, big party going on. And so there were a lot of beautiful buff black men, and I was like, wow. It was fun. There was an interesting performance by RuPaul's Drag Race winner, Tyra Sanchez. She performed.
No.
And I gotta say, she's very beautiful in person. Like, she really was really good, and she looked really amazing. I mean, she looks good on TV, but she's really pretty in person.
Really?
Yeah. So she did a really good job performing. She did a few songs, and she also came back, and she did Beyonce songs. It was really good.
She only did Beyonce songs?
When she came out, she didn't do a Beyonce song. I forgot which song it was, but then when she came back out, she changed, and she did a few Beyonce songs. So, because, you know, Beyonce is her idol. If you watch, you know, her season, she always was trying to, you know, copy Beyonce or talk about Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
So, but she was good. She did a really good job, I gotta say.
Mm.
So, I mean, she looked beautiful, and, you know, so it was good.
Wow, I didn't know you were into black men.
Well, part of it was two things, you know. I mean, I'm not a guy, I'm not into black men. So I thought my guy was he was black. I'm an equal opportunity lover, but I haven't been to Fire Island. I haven't been to Fire Island all summer, or I haven't been to the beach all summer, and a friend of mine told me about this event that was going on, and so I was like, hey, I might as well go and, you know, just be on the beach. And it was actually, at first we weren't going to go because it was supposed to rain all weekend, but it ended up not raining on Saturday. Saturday was actually a beautiful day, but coming back, it was pouring. It was like a monsoon. It was really it was really bad. But that's the thing about Fire Island. It's like, it's a great, you know, it's fun. It's a great trip. But to go there and to spend a day there and have to come back, it's such a trek. So
it is.
It was, at the end of the day, it was worth it. I had fun. So we had a good time.
Well, it pays to happen to know somebody who lives there on the island or on Long Island so that you make a whole, like, Wait, you were out there for a weekend, though, right?
No, I was only out there for the day.
Yeah, if you're there, like, for the weekend, then the trip back won't be as bad. If you do know somebody out there. Or if you, you know, wind up, like, renting.
Yeah, no, it's like, you know, my friend was saying that he, you know, stayed at the Ice Palace. They have, like, these little rooms. And they're, like, $400 a night for basically a closet. And so it's not even worth staying there. It's like really overpriced and to do it. But, I mean, of course, I mean, if you're going to do it, you know, it's better to probably stay the night or, you know, just so you don't have to just make the trip all the way back. But you know, it was fine. Once I got home, it was good to be in my bed, and it was fun. It was worth going. I had no complaints. I had a good time.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. Well, it is hardly not enough for Fire Island, especially to get some action, but I'm not going to get that personal with you tonight.
Yeah, no, I didn't, because you know what? I ended up going out the night before with my friend who I went out. We went out the night before, and that was the other thing, too. Like, and then we ended up only getting, like, a few hours of sleep and then going to Fire Island. So I was not in the mood to, like, I was just wanting to pass out. Like, I just didn't even want, at one point, like, we didn't figure out the train situation. We were like, how are we going to get there? It was just, like, such a ordeal that at one point I was really close to turning around and just going home. But we made it. We had a good time. And by the time I got there, I wasn't thinking about, there were lots of hot guys and there were people passing, but they could have all been aliens, and I just didn't even care. I was just like, I was so tired and beat and worn out. So I was just like, this is like, you know, I can't, you know, party the next party the night before and then get up early and then take that track. I was a hot mess. So, but whatever. It is what it is. Mm. It worked out in the end.
That's cool. So we had a monsoon up here also on Sunday, and of course, I couldn't work at the Renaissance Fair. So that was a bummer. But on Saturday, I had, like, a lot of people, like, taking my pictures and wanting to pose with me all the time more than ever. It was just really weird. It was nothing really exciting that I had on except for my makeup. And I had a little kid at the end of the day that came up to me. He ran up to me and says, Mister, why are you wearing why are you wearing makeup to look like a girl? Aren't you a boy? And I looked at him, and my jaws dropped. And I looked at the parents, because I saw the parents look at me, and I said to him, I looked back at him, and he was like 4 or 5, you know, a little pipsqueak. And I said to him, well, I'm really a girl trapped inside of a boy's body.
That's his jaw drop. Like, confused the kid even more.
Well, yeah, his jaw dropped. He looked at his parents and looked at me, and he looked at his parents and he ran back to his parents, and his parents were like, they at first were gonna start chuckling until, like, they saw his face, and they kind of, like, gagged, and they were like, oh shit, let's get out of here. And they just, like, walked away.
Oh, way to go. Scared the little kid.
It was such, like, Adam's Family or Munsters scene. When the people, notice how weird they are, and they run away.
Henry.
Talk about Beyonce. I had, I've been, you know, posting a lot lately on our blog, and I don't know if you remember or if you've seen the posts that I've been putting up lately, but there's this band called the Young Professionals, and they, you know, they had this interesting guy who I could have sworn was on RuPaul's Drag Race, who was the guy who did the choreography for season 3, but it wasn't, and this guy's in high heels with a group of girls dancing in, like, a Robert Palmer type of video, and it's kind of like Devo-esque. And the song's called Disco, and it's a really hot video, very fashionable. And the guy, you know, I have to say, I've become obsessed in knowing who this person is, because they have style and personality. So, you know, I'm always on YouTube, and I found a video on Tumblr, actually, that was linked from YouTube, and it featured him and this hunky guy. And it was really dark. I didn't post that video on the post, but I did feature him yesterday in my Nighthawk Fix posts. He turns out to be this Israeli guy who is a promoter and performer for this club party called Arisa. and it's very popular in it's Israel, and it's becoming very popular, I guess, in other countries also. I noticed on Facebook that there's different fan pages for different countries, and they're on some type of world tour, so they're doing like a whole bunch of videos that are like about a minute to 3 minutes long, and they're kind of soap opera-like, and they're constantly lip-syncing to some type of Arabic or Moroccan music or Israeli music, and it, you know, they built it up as, you know, I guess they're, this guy's name is Uriel, I believe I'm pronouncing his name, last name wrong, right, is UKTL, and anyway, he's hot. I mean, he is like, he's hot in drag, and he's hot in just all around out of drag, too. And so is his co-star, who I don't even know if it's his boyfriend. His name is Iliad Cohen. And, oh, man, does he have a body. I found this video of him dancing live this past Pride. They celebrate Pride in Israel around the same time we do here in New York. And he performed all these, like, with his dancers, his background dancers. He performed all these Beyonce songs, and he was pretty good. I mean, he's really good at lip-syncing and doing his makeup and choreography also. But he's hot. I think, you know, you should check him out if you haven't. Did you at all?
Well, yeah, I saw a little bit on the blog, so yeah.
What did you think?
And I saw that too. It was really good. It was really good. I saw that you made a comment on, like, the guy's picture or something on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Did I? I don't remember. Oh, yes. I linked us. I liked this. I liked his, the Arisa pro, fan page.
Okay. Well, Israelis are hot. I mean, they're hot men.
Oh, and I put a video up there just for you, too. If you haven't watched it, I think you should watch it. They do, like, this spoof on Hasidics out there.
Well, but you should contact them and try and get them on the show.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. And speaking about contacting and getting people on the show, did you ever call the people at Five Gays and One Girl?
I tried to get in contact with them, but all of them have fan pages. So it's hard to, like, you know, it's not like a, I tried to do it through Facebook to try and contact them, but all of them have, like, fan pages, not really their Facebook, personal Facebook page, so I haven't gotten to any of them.
Oh. Did you see my Yorkshire post?
I did see your Yorkshire post. I did.
Wasn't that funny?
I did. But,
I was tired. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could tell. The other thing, too, that's kind of crazy is that, you know, I don't know if you're into, you know, golden showers, but you gotta be really careful with taking the plane because, you know, there's all these stories. Like, recently, there's one incident with JetBlue where this guy got really drunk and he peed, picking up terrifying little kids. He peed on a child.
What?
Yes. He was so drunk. And the guy was like 18 years old. This was on a JetBlue flight. And he was so wasted. And he peed on a child. Like, basically gave their little child a golden shower. It was crazy. And then recently, the actor Gerard Depardieu, he did the same thing. He was on a flight, and he was drunk, and he peed right on the floor. But I was like, what is going on with people peeing? Like, is this like Golden Shower Week or National Golden Shower Month or, you know, whatever? I have no idea. But
that's
now you
gotta
be really careful. You know, we have, you know, all these other, you know, problems with, like, terrorists and, you know,
bowel
whatever.
Movement.
Now you gotta be worried that you're gonna get peed on. Like, it's crazy.
Wow. So this 18-year-old kid, was he, like, mentally challenged?
No, he wasn't mentally challenged. He was drunk, and he peed on a loose house. So, yeah, I mean, there's all these, like, crazy things in the news that are just, like, really, you know, kind of crazy. That, and the other thing that really got me, too, is that there is a 9-year-old, there's a 9-year-old girl in China who gave birth to a baby.
Oh, my God, no way.
9 years old. And I was like, oh, my God, she is officially, like, the youngest teen mom ever. And, like, you don't expect to hear those things in China, you know?
Where'd you read that?
You can Google it. I saw it, like, on MSN or something, like, whatever, or something, like, or someone posted a link on Facebook, and I saw it, and I clicked on it, and it was, like, a news story. So I didn't believe it, but it's an actual, it's a real story. She's 9 years old, and she gave birth to a baby boy.
That's crazy.
And that's crazy. So there's a lot of things happening. So, you know, you can't get, you know, you can't take the plane because you're afraid because you're going to get peed on, and 9-year-old Chinese kids are giving birth to babies. What is this world coming to? I swear to God, it's the end.
Well, you know, they in India, there's places where they take on wives at that age, at 9, like, you know, they start training them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there was that girl that talked when, you know, when Slumdog Millionaire, you know, that movie came out, you know, there was all those, you know, the one little girl, like, there was all this, like, you know, stuff that the father was trying to do, it's like, sell her off, and, like, all this, like, craziness. There's all kinds of horrible.
Well, how about that movie, Bandit Queen? That was, did you see Bandit Queen?
No, I never seen that.
Actually, Kim turned me onto that movie, and that was a pretty harsh movie.
There is a documentary, an HBO documentary called Born into Brothels, and it's all about in India. There's a lot of, you know, brothels, and like how they're, you know, gearing up the young girl to take, you know, to sell themselves and to be a part of the sex trade and all of that stuff. And I think it won, like, an Oscar and, like, all that, you know, stuff for best documentary. But, I mean, it's really sad. So, you know, I think we've covered together. We've talked about all kinds of things in our opening. So I guess we can now, I'll pass it on to you. We can take it out to move on to something else.
Yes, we have Tit for Tat now. And we have on the plate for Tit for Tat, this is where we, I and Drew go back and forth on, we do a yes or no, or we do a cat fight over a topic that's affecting our community in some way or another. And this week, I threw on the plate straight women looking for love in all the wrong places. So I brought this up because I, you know, lately, you know, I have a lot of, this is kind of, I hope my girlfriends out there are not listening to the podcast. You know, I do have a lot of my friends are female friends, and, you know, who are single, and I've been seeing this happening a lot lately in out there in the gay world, where female friends, they're, you know, they're kind of heartbroken because nobody wants them, they're not feeling pretty, and they're pretty, and they start, you know, they're either going out with the wrong guys, or, and they, you know, they're expecting us, the gays, to fix them up, and they kind of start falling in love with their father or mother, if that's what they see in us. And, you know, they start pushing the limit on the friendships. And so, you know, you could feel like something is stirring sexually between the friendship, and you're in a position where you feel very uncomfortable. You know, you don't want to stop talking to your friend. Yeah, you don't want to stop talking to your friend, and you want to really, you know, get past this, but you really don't want to talk about it either.
I've always seen, you know, it's always been the subject of movies and that kind of stuff, but I've never had, that happened. I mean, at least for me or anybody that I know. I mean, of course, it's been, you know, sometimes things are said like, oh, God, like, why couldn't you been a... And I even said, like, sometimes I wish, you know, especially when you're dating someone and you have a female friend that you hit it off with, and I have a lot of close friends who are women, and then sometimes you're like, oh, you might say the line of like, oh, why can't I be straight, or whatever, that kind of thing, but it's not really taken, either of us, I'm not really taking it serious, or trying to, like, you know, whatever, we don't really have that feeling of like, oh, God, like, yeah, if I was straight, yeah, it would be a whole different story, but we've never crossed the line, or I've never felt that they've crossed the line in terms of, oh, they want me, or I want them, or there's this kind of weirdness that's happening where we're too much, and, you know, or I've seen it to happen to other friends, you know. I mean, I've had friends where they might have, you know, I don't know, they might have hooked up with women or their friends or been involved in kind of things, but no, it hasn't been, like, drama.
Hmm.
At least At least I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it exists, but I haven't come across any of those type of situations happening.
Well, right now and it concerns me. It's like, and I find this happening also at the Renaissance Fair, and, you know, you're at the Renaissance Fair, people are playing and they're escaping their everyday world, but they're actually really, you know, still here in reality, and even with my makeup on, they're, like, really attracted to that. Like, this past week, there was these two girls dressed up in pirates, sexy pirates, and, you know, I'm up on my La Chamaca, you know, roll, and I have my makeup on, the bearded lady and everything, and they're like, ooh, hot, and they were kind of, like, following me everywhere, and then I'm like, okay, girls, would you stop it? You're really good looking, and I'm sure you could pick up some really hot ass straight guys here that I wish I could be fucking in the bushes right now. So, you know, get over it.
Were they like, were they just like intrigued by you and like wanted to like be friends, or like were they?
Well, I guess they were freaks. Like, I mean, like they were following me.
Yeah. Okay.
They would come by the booth. Like every other 5 minutes, and I give them the cold shoulder as best as possible.
Maybe it's because you're uncircumcised.
They don't know I'm uncircumcised, bitch.
Well, that's what you said last time, because people who are uncircumcised, they give off these, you know, pheromones are stronger than other people who are not. So, maybe that's why.
Oh my God, you're probably right. Oh, I must have turned up the volume on the foreskin glands.
Your foreskin glands were on fire. God.
Well, and then there's, you know, there's my other friend who I've been helping her out through some things, and you know, she knows that I'm not interested, and but, you know, she's also a freak like that, like, whatever, and so she wants to hang out all the time, and I'm like, okay, and I'm kind of, like, worrying in the back of my head, like, you know, is she really this lonely that she wants to hang out with me every week? But, you know, I've been caught in that position before where girls out of nowhere would just, like, you know, push it a little further where, like, they want to sneak in, like, a long-lasting kiss, and then I'm like, whoa, no. if I was drunk maybe, but you know, I like you and everything, I'm not going to be solely like that, I'm not going to forfeit, you know, who I am just to please your fantasy.
I mean, no, that's fine. I mean, you know, there are things that, you know, I mean, sometimes I am, you know, very affectionate with my female friends, and like I'll grab their boobs or, you know, whatever, like, but I think we have that's our relationship, and it's not like we all know that, of course, nothing is going to happen, you know?
Mm. So, how do you, I mean, all right, so you never really had anything of this ever happen to you?
Like, any, like,
or any of your friends? Or any of your friends, or, like,
Nobody I know. No, I mean, not that I know of where, you know.
Even while you were growing up and you were growing up, you know, as an out gay man, I know when I was growing up, you know, some of the people that we know were trying to hit on me, and some of them had crushes that never really died, that it's kind of still around. And,
yeah.
You know, I think it's cute, but so nothing like that ever, like Samadhi ever hit on you?
No. Well, I mean, we had a really weird relationship. Like, he was, you know, at the point before I actually came out, like, we had, like, you know, it was a relationship that was kind of, you know, it could have been a physical relationship or whatever, or we had, like, a love, but obviously I knew I was gay, and, like, you know, it wasn't, but no, I think at one point, you know, there was, like, you know, I'm still kind of, like, do I really want to be, you know, am I really gay or that kind of thing, but there wasn't any uncomfortableness.
Well, I guess this is kind of like, you know, the same thing with gay men who fall in love with their straight best friends, maybe. I mean,
yeah.
I've heard it happen now and then. Never really happened with me, so to speak. I've had some crushes without even knowing. At least growing up, I had one on one of my friends, but I didn't even come out at the time. I didn't push it, and I didn't push to change him, but I have been in a situation where I could have tried to manipulate the friendship a little bit. I know for my cousin, he had a really good friend, a gay friend that, you know, tried a lot to, like, kind of get my cousin to that level of friendship where, you know, he'll open up his heart enough that maybe he can convince him to, like, tongue kiss him or something. But my cousin, you know, he loves women 100%, so, you know, he would tell him over and over again, Dana, you know, you're not going to break me. I'm not going that way. And
yeah.
Until the guy gave up. So, I don't know. Anyway, so I think this is a closed subject. You know,
yeah.
If anybody else has any, and you know, anyone out there has any insights or anything that they can contribute to it, you know, go right ahead, give us a call or email us. Did you have any final thoughts, Drew?
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay, then. Well, let's move on. We'll leave you off with some music, and when we get back, we'll have the main drag.
OkCupid, we've mentioned them, you know, in several of our podcasts before. And So we found, I found this, you know, very interesting, to taking a look at gay sex versus straight sex. So based on their findings of delaying poll, you know, 3.2 million OkCupid users, both gay and straight, and these were their findings. So, you know, and especially, you know, I found some of it was, you know, very interesting, especially because there's always a lot of, you know, misconceptions about gay men and, you know, or lesbians or bisexuals, transgender, what have you. And so I thought it was a good way to kind of to show the opposite side. And, you know, speaking of this, the first thing, you know, that we talked about earlier, the first thing they say is, like, first of all, gay sexuality is not a threat. Gay people are not sexually interested in straights. And, it, you know, what they say is that there's a subtext to a lot of homophobic thinking, is the idea that gays will try to get straight people into bed at the first opportunity, or that gays are looking to convert straights. And what they did was they looked over 4 million match searches and found that virtually no evidence of the case. And 0.6% of gay men have searched for straight matches. 0.1% of lesbians have ever searched for straight matches. And the funny thing is that 0.13% of straight people's profile visitors are gay. So, you know, so here, you know, they're thinking, you know, of course, you know, I mean, of course, you know, we all find straight guys cute and whatever, but we're not trying to convert or, you know, do that. So, you know, that was kind of a nice point to show that, you know, yes, we're not all trying to, you know, find a straight guy and convert him or, you know, although I wouldn't kick him out of bed, but, it, you know.
Okay.
Another common myth about gay people is that they sleep around, but, you know, what they found statistically is that gay people as a group aren't any more slutty than straight. So
yeah, I saw that.
Based on their, you know, the median reported sex partners, straight men had 6, gay men had 6, straight women had 6, and gay women had 6. So there really wasn't a, you know, there weren't that many, there wasn't that big of a difference. I mean, there isn't a difference at all. I mean, everyone, I guess we're all slutty. You know?
Well, so, if you, if,
and
go
it
ahead.
It says that 45% of gay people have had 5 or fewer partners versus 44% for straight. And 98% of gay people have had 20 or fewer partners versus 99% for straight. So, I mean, if you really look at that, I mean, you know, we're not as, you know, I think people, you know, there was always this, I know when I first came out and, you know, wanted to be, you know, I had that, always that fear of, like, I don't want people to think that, oh, I'm gay, so I'm just this, like, over-sexual, like, hypersexual, like, oh, I'm sleeping with anything that goes out, you know, like, there was always this kind of, like, stigma that all we were doing was just fucking all the time, you know, and it was just like, but it was nice to be able to have this, you know, the study, even though, you know, this is just, you know, I'm just for people for, who use OkCupid, but, you know, it's still millions of people. It was nice to see that, you know, to prove that, like, yeah, we're no different from anyone else. So.
How did you stumble upon this?
About the, I don't remember how I did. I was looking at, you know, I'm always doing research for, you know, topic things that we should be talking about or finding things, and I don't remember exactly how I got it, but, you know, it was kind of, I'm glad I did. So, another thing is that they act, over, you know, 2,500 straight people, have you ever had a sexual encounter with someone of the same sex, and almost a quarter answered yes. Ooh, that was interesting. Have you ever had sex with a straight boy?
If I had sex with a straight boy, I wouldn't think that boy is straight.
You know, I mean, I did once had an incident where, you know, you know, this street boy, like, was just kind of, like, you know, in my bed. And, well, actually, it wasn't in my bed. It was in our friend's bed. We were all, like, hanging out at a friend's house, and we were crashing. And we ended up, like, staying in the same room. And he, you know, was just, like, you know, like, I'm sleeping, and, like, you know, he's, like, touching himself. And I'm, like, what are you doing? And he's just, like, oh, whatever. He said something, and then he's, like, and then he was like, oh, you can touch it. And I was like, what? And then, I don't know. And then, of course, I did. And then, then I guess he got kind of freaked out. I don't know. And then we stopped. And then I just went to sleep. But anyway.
Well, there's a lot of curious people out there. I mean, if people look at the, you know, they go to this link, our listeners, you know, and you go to, like, it's like quarter of the way down on the page, there's a map here, and, you know, one of the studies that they did on the survey was who's gay curious in the U.S. and Canada. And there's a lot of them in the Midwest, especially Texas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Texas, all of New York, you know, around Montana, you know, the Brokeback Mountain area. up in North Dakota also. God, it's just like, it's pretty amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And it gets even more curious out in Canada, like all the way to the west. And Portland, Oregon, and it's just, it's really...
Yeah, and
really,
and there was another, I mean, there was a, you know, thing that said, you know, there was, you know, straight women and their same-sex desires. One in three straight women have hooked up with another woman. And those who have it, over 1 in 4 would like to. As for straight men, a surprisingly high 13% of have had same-sex experience, and another 5% haven't yet, but would like to. So, you know, there is this kind of, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, we're now, you know, especially, you know, being gay and this kind of stuff, you know, we have gotten a lot better, and people are a lot more willing to experiment a little bit, especially when they go away to college. You know, everyone's a lesbian or everyone's gay for a minute. But, you know, now a lot more and more you're starting to see that there is this kind of fine line of, you know, sometimes, you know, in New York, you know, you walk through Williamsburg, and all these hipsters, you can't tell who's gay and who's straight anymore, you know? Like, sometimes you're like, is he gay, is he straight, is he whatever, and he has a girlfriend, and you're like, what happened, you know? It's a very fine line, you know? And I think because, you know, people are kind of moving away from the labels. I mean, of course, there is a very clear distinction of people who are like, I'm gay, and that's it. But, you know, there are a lot more, you know, people are not afraid to explore their sexuality a little bit, which is good. That means that we're making some progress, and we're not such, you know, just people who are just kind of like, you know, so oppressed that we just can't, you know, let loose. But, so that was that.
Well,
did you find out anything else interesting on the?
Oh, I found lots, but before I get into that, I just want to make one comment on what you were just saying. You know, that fine line, it's a good thing that that's happening, because it just forces people to really edit themselves when they're going to approach somebody for, you know, if they have any interest in them, either sexually or for a relationship. You know, that, you know, there's this whole big thing out there now that, especially in the gay community, douchebags, and those douchebags just generally tend to be people who just shoot from the hip, and they're insensitive, and they don't, you know, they're not mindful of people's feelings, and people do have feelings. And, and it's not all about you, you know, it forces people to be mindful. And I know for me it does. I mean, I'm one of them. I mean, I don't say insensitive things most of the times, but I have put my foot in the mouth because, you know, I assume that the other person didn't have a lover or they were gay. And, you know, I could have delicately gotten to that point in the conversation if I just went about, you know, my everyday business and sort of like shoot the breeze with the person and get to really know the person instead of the sexuality.
Yeah.
Observe them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've had that, you know, situation too where I, you know, basically ask someone, were they not going to the gay pride parade, and they clearly was like looking at me like I was crazy because they were like, what? And I was like, oh, I thought you were gay. sometimes there's always going to be, you know, those mistakes or things that happen. But, you know, in terms of everything else, you know, it's also very nice to see that that straight men are, that there are more and more people who are, you know, curious. And I think that, you know, I think more and more people would have interactions or would, you know, do these things. I mean, we're now in this era of, like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm having a bromance with these people. Like, that's the straight term. You know, like, they can, you know, hide under that. But a lot of them would be more freely to kiss a guy or to have an experience if there wasn't this kind of, like, stigma. You know, and it's feeling like, you know, oh, if I do this, oh, I'm not gay, or, you know, what that means, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, and if we, and I think that's why, you know, about the, you know, whole gay rights thing, it's not so much about, it's not, yes, it's about, you know, the equal rights and, you know, we deserve them, but I think it's also about making people, the more and more it becomes the norm, the more and more people will be less inhibited to just kind of go out and explore and to be free and to be who they are and to be themselves. And, you know, and not to say who you have sex with, to me, doesn't necessarily define your sexuality or, I mean, your preference or your, you know, what you want. If I had sex with a woman tomorrow, which not going to happen, but if it was, it doesn't make me straight. It just means that I have sex with a woman. You know, I know that I'm gay because I want to be with a man when I'm an old man, and I want to have a relationship with a man, and I want to have a committed relationship with a man. But who I sleep with until that happens doesn't define my sexual being. Like, that doesn't mean that some people think, oh, because I like to take away the sex part, because people used to always think about so much about, oh, you must be sleeping around, so that means that you're, you know, gay, and so they have this image of what you're supposed to be, that I always try to remove the sex out of the equation and say that, like, no, I'm gay because I want to be with a man. And I want to have a committed relationship with a man. That's why I'm gay. Not who I sleep with. It's not because of, yes, of course I want to sleep with men. But the sex is a plus, you know? And I think that's what, you know, it's about. It's like, who you sleep with doesn't necessarily, if a guy goes out and sleeps with a guy, does that make him gay? I don't necessarily, because at the end of the day, if he doesn't want to be in a relationship with a man or have a relationship, I don't find him gay. He could have gay tendencies, or he could have, you know, do whatever, but it doesn't necessarily make him gay, because to me, being gay is more than just about the sex part. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it totally does. When I read the book, The Joy of Gay Sex, I believe it's called, we have it on our Amazon widget. Yeah, they went into defining, you know, what's a true bisexual. And a true bisexual is a person who can have an intimate relationship with both sexes at the same time. It's not only it's about a sexual relationship, you know. It doesn't make you bisexual because you have sex with both men and women. It makes you bisexual. It makes us, you know, sexuality makes us how, you know, our intimacy with that sex is not just the sex, because, you know, we're all sexual people. We're all, you know, beings, spiritual beings having human experience, and we all have genitals, and we're, you know, there's a good percentage of the time that we're driven by our sexuality. And, you know, I can look at a woman sometimes and, you know, depending on her sexual energy and her overtones, I can get a hard on, and doesn't mean that I want to have sex with her or I want to fall in love with her, because my heart really wants to be with a man and wants to give itself to a man. And being in that realm and that space of pleasure and thought and sharing, you know, my whole being with a man, not a woman. And I don't want to do men and women at the same time, so I'm not bisexual. But I've met, you know, several people like that. I actually, you know, before I came out, I went out with a girl like that who I'm really still good friends with. And she has a relationship like that, you know. I think I've mentioned her in the past podcast. You know, she has a girlfriend, and she has a husband. And she has kids with this husband. And the husband totally knows about her girlfriend. And, you know, and they have this relationship. And there's plenty of real bisexuals out there like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what this study, you know, was really good is that it's really showing that, you know, a lot of us are, although they fight so hard to, you know, the media and the right wing and all this, you know, crazy people try to make us, you know, tell us, you know, shove down people's throats, you know, what makes us different. If you really look at, you know, the study and, you know, what they found, you know, a lot of the things, you know, even from, you know, the interest in what we like and from our sexual experiences and all that stuff, like, some of them are very similar. So we're not that different. And I think that's what people forget, is that people stop trying to make it seem like we're this, like, different group that no one can understand, that we want, you know, all these crazy things that are, we're, you know, and that we can, and no one can relate to us. Because we can relate to our straight counterparts. We do have, we want the same, you know, wants and needs and all that stuff, but we just have it for the same sex.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that I looked, that really, you know, struck out at me first, in the beginning of the survey outlined here. They, you know, they found that there's, you know, no real difference between gay sex and straight sex. You know, that when the same questions were asked to heterosexuals and gay people and lesbians, there was a small marginal difference, and it wasn't much to write home about. And
yeah.
There's a graph here that outlines that. And that brought me back to thinking of how when I listened to Dan Savage's podcast, where he gets a lot of straights that call in, they are constantly questioning their sexuality. You know, does it mean I'm gay because I prefer, you know, intercourse with my girlfriend more than I do having, you know, intercourse with her vagina? And no, the answer is no, because you love her. You know, you just
exactly.
prefer,
exactly.
you know,
exactly.
anal
exactly.
sex more than her poor twat.
Exactly. I think it's a blessing and a curse, because as gay men, we don't have to be, we can be more free with our sexuality, and we can hook up with as many people as we want. We can explore different things and do that, where straight men are very limited, you know? They're either, mm-hmm. you know, so that's, but it also occurs because, you know, people only think that gay men, as gay men, all we do is fuck. That's all we do, you know? I mean, of course, we're men, and it could be the case, you know, for some. But, you know, there are some of us that want more, and that, you know, want the same thing as the straight men, and so, or have the same questions or doubts or insecurities or fears or, you know, wants and needs and all that stuff. Like, we're all the same, and so that's,
yeah, it's really interesting, you know, that they went into the whole, you know, demystifying the whole promiscuity thing, and they found that across the board, you know, everyone scored a 6, straight men, gay men, straight women, gay women, on the questions on promiscuity, you know, that we are all equally promiscuous. No one is more promiscuous than the other. You know, it's really interesting. 45% of gay people have had 5 or fewer partners versus 44% of straights. 98% of gay people have had 20 or fewer partners versus 99% for straights. So, it's like, it's crazy. I'm really surprised that no other bloggers out there has picked up on this survey. It's really interesting. And, you know, OkCupid has been bought out by Match.com a while ago. So, and they've been known, OkCupid, and one of the reasons why they probably purchased them, besides the fact that they're very popular, is that they have a very intuitive questionnaire and matching system that is incomparable. It's kind of like eHarmony, except that it's more friendlier and more asks the right questions, I think. And they're gay-friendly, opposed to eHarmony's Puritan questionnaire. You know, it's... And then they have, you know, right below that, they have the questionnaire on, the part of the survey where they question people on straight people have gay sex too, which was really interesting. 66%. The question was, have you ever had a sexual encounter with someone of the same sex? And of course, 66% said no, and I would never. Then there were 17% said yes, and I have enjoyed myself. And a 6% said yes, and I did enjoy myself. And then 11% said no, but I would like to. You know, it lends itself again to that Kinsey theory that we're all sexual beings, you know, and we're all like on this bar where we're either 100% or somewhere in the middle, or we're 0%.
Exactly.
You know, gay or straight. And this was really eye-opening, interesting. Towards the end, there are a few things that caught my eye, stuff that gay people like, and stuff that straight people like. And they compared people's answers to see how people identify themselves. And bi users tend to be more closer to mainstream identity references that straight people usually use than gay users. I mean, the gay users on the site were really low. And then they threw into the mix, I don't know if it was American Indians, so they didn't make this evidently clear. They have here Indians, they threw out, you know, and they asked questions based on ethnicity. A very small number of Indian users really, you know, identify with any of these terms or likes that straight people, users of other ethnicities have. So it's, you know, it really comes down to also identity, you know, who you really are, you know, what makes you you, what makes you unique. And then the last thing that I found very interesting was towards the end, people's comments. There were only two people that left comments, and one of them, his name is Birdie, he said, I would like people to keep in mind straights are being surveyed in this environment created for them, by them. Gays and lesbians are being surveyed after years of violence against them, being pushed out of society, ridiculed, tossed away from their families, and having every right that is given without question to straights be taken away. I like to remind people of this very obvious discrepancy in any sexuality statistic, especially the ridiculous one that goes around saying gays are unhappier than the average straight person. Of course they aren't happy. They are living under the heel of your boot, you jackass. You try living down there, down here with your face in the mud and tell me how happy you are. Work at this. It's true. I mean, like, you know, the groups that I belong to that I'm working in outside my normal environment, it's constantly, I'm always bombarded by, do you ever think about marrying a woman? You know, wouldn't you think you would be happier? And I'm freaking 38 years old. I've been out since I've been 16. Wouldn't you think that by now I would have, you know, turned a leaf? You know, have you really spent several years in my shoes or the shoes of somebody else who loves and worships the same sex? I mean, come on, folks.
And isn't it, like, you know, messed up for them to say that and for us to not say to them, like, you know, what, you know, are you sure you're straight? Like, you know, you sure you don't want to have a dick in your mouth or your ass? Like, don't matter.
Yeah, what
if you try it? Like,
exactly.
You don't want to have a golden shower? Like, you know, you want to get fisted tonight? Like, you know, we don't say those things to them, so it's really messed up that they would say those things to us. So it could be able to find all the results in our show notes so you can actually look at the survey yourself and kind of examine and kind of, you know, see if you agree with what, you know, the OkCupid survey, that dating research, what they had to say about it. But I thought it was really interesting.
It is. Totally is. And, you know, I always say it, and I'm going to keep on saying it. You know, if you don't have a passion in life, then find it, because you'll be a lot more happier at who you are, at what you do, and comfortable. You know, everyone else has a passion, especially in the straight community. Why can't we? You know, it doesn't have to be all about sex. You know, it can be about just living your life and being in the present and enjoying the present, which is the present. Okay.
No, exactly. And I think, you know, and also showing that we're no different from, you know, straight people and how we view sex and sexuality and all that stuff. You know, shows that people don't need to be as afraid of us as they are. They make it seem like we're, you know, coming in and we're gonna, you know, steal all this, you know, straight men and try and convert them and do these crazy things. You know, it's like, relax. Like, it's, you know, it's good to, you know, just to have this survey and, you know, to be able to say, like, we're just as sexual as straight people. And even though they don't want to say it and they don't want to give us that, but OkCupid did. And so now we have some facts. Now we have some ammunition. So.
Yes, we took it to church already.
Exactly. So that's that.
Hallelujah.
All right, so we're going to leave you with some music, and we'll be back with our next segment.
Okay.
This song is a song that Charles Nelson Reilly stole from the Beatles, and we are going to steal it back. There's been a lot of talk about this song, maybe too much talk. This is not the rebel song. This is We Fight For.
And welcome back. That was Pink Steel. Name of the song was We Fight For Cock.
Okay.
Yes, we do. I found that on SoundCloud.
Here we are trying to be like, oh no, we're not all about sex and great song choice, honey.
Well, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was really different, and I don't know. I thought it was appropriate for the whole, like, you know, equal rights movement, and let's be proud and loud. Anyway, it was a funny band. So this week we don't have anything for Back Into the Closet. So what we're going to do is we're going to do an episode of Tech Fix. A lot of you guys have been responding and filling out the survey on our widget. Thank you very much. And a good deal of you guys like the tech news that we always post on our blog. So really quickly, a few things, well, several things have been happening in the tech world this week, and a lot of drama. Apple, of course, is suing a lot of people. And the more you get bigger, the richer that you get as a corporation, seems like you get more brat-like or spoiled and you want to sue everyone. But that's not what we want to talk about. What we want to talk about is the new devices that are coming out. One, you know, Apple's iPhone 5 is supposed to be coming out sometime, rumor has it, September 7th. And it's supposed to have, like, all these improvements, wider screen, bigger, stronger, faster, prettier, notifications, which would be great, and more responsive, and may have technology that can allow it to become a device that you can purchase things with, which is called near-field communication, NFC. So you could go to the store and just wave your phone at some, you know, some barcode scanner, and it, you know, you could make your purchases with it. It's just a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but it would be, you know, certainly something appealing to buy, especially if it was on my carrier, Sprint, which is the only true, that has the only true unlimited data plan alongside, you know, amongst its competitors, Verizon, AT&T, who are always capping people. I felt that it was important to bring that one up, and the fact that also Apple has these patents and future plans for their devices like iPhone and iPods and iPads to have projectors in them, so they can project whatever that, you know, mostly presentations, who knows, maybe even, you know, your Netflix, onto a wall, onto some type of screen. So, you know, you can take your movies with you and put them on the wall and watch them, especially those pornos of yours, Drew.
Yeah, exactly. And did you hear about Google buying Motorola?
Yeah, Google bought Motorola. And, I guess to really, for $12 billion, I mean, that's a lot of money. Yeah, they tried to really make the Android platform something big, and I'm sure they have a lot of plans and to use that, make use of it, which leads me into the whole entire thing with Android. The George Bionic, which I know, Drew, you've been having your eye on and wanting to see it finally in the stores, that's supposedly slated to come out sometime in October. And a lot of pictures have been coming out. It's definitely showing up in people's databases and stores. And sounds like the first people to have it is going to be Verizon and AT&T. That has a dual core processor, and that makes the phone a lot faster and speedier, and it has a wider screen, supposedly. I mean, it's really not so much of a difference from the other Android phones, except that it will have a bigger storage capacity. But, I mean, I think the most appealing part about it, I'm sure the battery might not be the best, because most batteries aren't the best on the Android devices, but the most impressive part about the George Bionic is that it has that dual core processor. So, and I believe that is also made by Motorola. And they tend to be making some pretty good Android devices. So again, the battery is the thing to watch out with for that device. So, and other devices that are going to be coming out by Android with dual core processors. So, you know, be on the lookout for the battery life. Always ask about how good is the battery life, because you might want to buy more than one battery if you're going to buy those devices, and you might want to buy an extended battery to extend the lifespan, because you don't want to keep on plugging in your device. I have a Droid Evo, HTC Evo, and I'm constantly plugging it in because a lot of the apps that I like and the way that I like it to run, which is so customizable, it allows me to, it doesn't allow me to really walk out the door without the plug to charge it. I constantly need to charge it because, you know, even with the battery tips to save, you know, battery on it, it still doesn't last today. The new thing, which I'm really excited about, and I think is pretty cool, which I think you should be excited about, Drew, because I know you have a BlackBerry Storm still, which has been beat up and just not the best. The BlackBerry Torch 9960, I believe that's the number. The ones that replace the Storm, which is a full touchscreen without the clicking screen that the Storm had, the first Storm. I mean, this device looks really hot. The only thing I don't like about it is that it has a small screen, but I'll put the links on the show notes. The touchscreen is a lot more responsive than the Storm 1 and 2. The OS, they have a new OS, the web browser is a whole lot faster. It's supposed to be a lot faster than any other of the device's web browsers. According to CNET.com, they did that was Android Central. They did a test, or maybe it was a CrackBerry. Well, somebody did a test on the browsers to compare it to iPhone and Android, and the browser on that device, that Torch touchscreen was a lot faster than any of the other devices. And supposedly it comes with 16 gigabytes of hard drive space, which is very impressive. There isn't a phone out there that does that. So that means your device is going to be really, really speedy, on top of the fact that it has a 1.2 gigahertz processor. And it has this nice shiny rim and feel to it and curve on the back side, so it fits really nicely on your palm. 5 megapixels on the camera, so you could take pictures of your crotch very nicely, and it won't come out blur. Or of yourself in the mirror and put it up on Grindr. Have you looked at the post that I put on our blog with the video for that BlackBerry device, Drew?
I saw that for the new BlackBerry, yeah.
What did you think?
I think I'm at a point where, I mean, I think they were nice phones. They definitely were nice phones, but I think I'm at a point where I'm ready to move on from the BlackBerry. But, they were impressive.
Well, I would go back to BlackBerry just because of the fact that their email notification systems are so smooth and streamlined. That would be my only reason why going back there. And the fact that that it works and it's a little more roomier to walk around in. The one thing I'm hating about my Droid is the battery life. And for that, the iPhone would be my ideal choice because battery life on that device is a lot better than any of the other phones, I think. Some people do complain about the battery life on the iPhone, but, you know, the one that I had, the 3G, I never had a problem with that battery life. Now, interesting things that are occurring also is there's a survey that was done and was posted on CNET that they found that your cell phone, the radiation on it, lowers your sperm count. They tested it on lab rats, and they found that when they kept this, I don't know what kind of cell phone it was, but if they put the cell phone, you know, they put the cell phones near them for about a day or so, and they found that their sperm count had dropped by 5%. So I think they're doing more investigation on this. I'll include the link to that in the show notes also, but that was really interesting. So I'm always putting my phone in my pocket, at least near my crotch, and I'm always concerned about that. Where do you put your cell phone when you're not twiddling with it?
I usually have it in a bag.
In a bag?
I usually put my cell phone in my pocket because then I, like, butt out people and things like that, so I usually don't put it in my pocket.
There's also a study that was done and surveyed, has been making some waves also, that people in major studies didn't, there's this trend happening where, like, they're not really on the phone. They're just pretending to be on the phone and so that people won't talk to them. Do you find yourself doing that, or have you found that happening in the city?
I don't do that. I mean, the only time I pretend that I'm texting or on the phone is if I'm, you know, waiting for someone. Sometimes I'm, like, waiting at a bar, like, waiting for someone. I'm running late. If I don't want people to come up to me, I'll be on my phone. I could be on my phone doing something, but I'm not necessarily, like, pretending to have a conversation with someone. Like, oh, hi, how are you? Like, that kind of thing.
It's kind of weird. I mean, I try not to do that while I'm in the city, though I like to take advantage of my 3G speeds or the 4G experience. and I really want to keep my eye around on what's happening around me. I think, you know, but I, you know, like I said in that podcast about, I think it was podcast number 10, when I went through the city, how everybody was like stuck on the device and they were just paying attention to the device and nothing around them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty concerning. I mean, it's like you're missing out on a piece of time, you know, that present moment. Kind of kooky.
Well, that's the world we live in.
So, and one last thing, Skype is putting out free Wi-Fi out there, and they're gonna, you know, I think tomorrow they're gonna start it, but they're gonna offer it for free for about a couple of days, and then they're gonna start charging people for 6 cents per minute, and which I find pretty pricey. But supposedly they're gonna offer it to iPhone users, and I think that'll be really interesting. They're gonna be like offering it in about 30 cities around the United States. I'm sure New York is going to be one of them. Oh, wait, and I think over 3 million places or something, some large number like that, they're going to be offering it. Anyway, so I think that's about it for the tech world.
Oh, okay, Henry, so that's, thanks for the tech news. All right, so that wraps up our episode 12. We hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to catch us next week. And so for now, you can feel free to contact us by emailing us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com, or you can visit our blog and listen to our postings, our podcasts, and things that we post on a pretty consistent basis. So do we find things that we find interesting at allfixpodcast.blogspot.com. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, you can find us on iTunes, All Fix Podcasts, and you can also find us on stitcherradio.com. Please feel free to, iTunes, definitely rate us, and the more ratings we get, the higher we get up there on the scale, the more popular we become. And you can also find us on Facebook at Oral Fix Podcast or The Oral Fix Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter as well at Oral Fix Podcast. So that's all I have for this week. Henry, you have anything you want to chime in?
Go ahead and use our widget for Amazon. We have plenty of things for that. For your pretty eyes and your pretty pockets, and we have that survey still up there. So please let us know, you know, what more would you like to hear on our show, and what your interests are. And it's an anonymous survey. So that's all. Have a great week. Thank you for supporting us.
Yes, thank you for supporting us, and have a great week, and till next time. And as always, we're going to leave you with some music. This is Active Child, and the song is called Hang On. Toodaloo.